helping students and healthcare professionals not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast with your host, Bill Reichart, National Director of CMDA Campus Ministries.
Well, welcome to another episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Reichert, National Director for our Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA. And I have with me as my guest, Violeta Mora. Violeta, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, I am excited to have this conversation because we are going to learn a little bit about perseverance and resilience. And before we get started, and I'm not going to give a full bio because I think as we have a conversation, it's going to tease out some of the things that I think will be important to explore. So, but let me just tell our listening and viewing audience a little bit about you, Violeta. You are a third-year medical student at the American University of the Caribbean, which is in St. Martin's. Mm-hmm. And I think you are currently now in Miami, are you not? Because you're doing your, yes. your clinical rotations.
And yes. I should start soon. Yes.
Yeah. And I'd say we didn't, but one of my associates had a chance to meet you more at our national convention, which was at the Ridgecrest Convention Center in Asheville, North Carolina recently. So you had a chance to be a part of that. And you are a student leader of the local ministry there at St. Martin's. So again, welcome and thank you for being a part of this conversation. So I like these kind of conversations, Violeta, because they give a window into the ways that God is at work in our lives. And it's different for everybody, but He is still the one authoring our story. He is the one guiding our journey. And so, again, didn't want to tell a lot about your bio at the front end because, again, I wanted it to kind of unpack as we talked. So you're currently in Miami now. You're currently a medical student, but it's been a long journey to get there. You were originally... Well, you were raised in Cuba. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, Bill. Well, thank you so much for having me here. As you can tell by my name and my accent, yes, I was born and raised in Cuba. When I was 21, in the year of 2013, I had to make the most difficult decision of my life so far. And it was to leave my country and come to the United States with my parents or to stay and finish med school. So in Cuba and in other parts of the world, students go to med school, law school directly from high school. And that was my case. So in 2013, I had just finished my fourth year of med school. So in Cuba, med school is 6 years. So I just had two more years to graduate and become a doctor. And the passion for medicine runs in my family. My dad was the first person in his family to ever go to college, and he became a medical doctor. I have two siblings, my brother and my sister, which are older than me. They also graduated med school. So since I was a little girl, it has always been my dream. And it was not something that was imposed on me, but it was something that I grew up and start loving. Since I was 5 years old, I would always say, I want to be a doctor. It also comes to the sense that I was very sick as a child. And that was one of the reasons that my parents and I came to Christ. So just that reinforced my calling to become a doctor. But what happened is that in Cuba, a lot of people don't know this. Over the past years, the politics has changed. But during that time, if you are a doctor, a nurse, or any more doctors than anything, if you decide to leave the country, if you decide to move to United States, Spain, you name it. And in my case was for a family reunification process that took 11 years, actually longer than that. But when my parents, specifically my dad, told in his job that he was leaving, that he wanted to live, in Cuba there is a policy that the health minister has to give you a permission to live. And in my case, that's the case of many Cubans, you get hold by 5 years. So by the time that you say, I want to go, time can pass 5 to 10 years for them to allow you to actually leave the country. Like, you cannot just leave by legal means, because in the airport, they have you control. They know that you are a doctor. They know that you are related. And the U.S. Embassy in Havana knows about that. So when I was 16, I got a visa approved with my parents. But our visa expired because the Cuban government didn't let us go. Mm. And I decided to start med school as a pass of faith. Mm. But it came the point when in 2013, they lift off that law and they allow everybody that was waiting for that permit to leave, my parents and I included. Mm. So I came to the sense of, like, should I stay and finish? Mm-hmm. And then I will be the one holding back. Or should I just leave everything and start again in the United States? Mm. I had a very hard time with God during that time. Mm. I'm not going to lie, because I was like, why are you allowing for me to actually enjoy being a medical student, be in the hospital, learn about pediatrics, delivering babies, see patients in internal medicine, for me not to actually get to the end, get to my prize to become a doctor? And God, at that moment, God was silenced. And he says, you need to trust me. Mm-hmm. You need to actually go my way, because my ways are higher than your way. So I was obedient. And I came to the United States with my parents in July 2013, mm-hmm. July 25th. So it's going to be 11 years soon.
So you leave and your medical education comes to an abrupt end. Mm-hmm. Now it's wide open as to what are you going to do next? How did you come to the conclusion, or what was your thinking as you thought about next steps? What were some of the opportunities and options afforded to you?
When I came, I started asking people, how you get into med school in the United States? And then I learned that you had to go to college and get a degree.
Right. That
it can be anything, but they told me you should do it in biological science.
Okay.
But I had to learn English first, because as you can tell, English is not my first language.
Okay.
So I had to learn English. Uh-huh. I decided to get a job. I was blessed enough that I learned since my second year of med school in Cuba that I wanted to be a pediatrician.
Okay.
And I had to start learning experience on my free time, away from my classes, my seminars, my lab practicals. Mm-hmm. I got assigned a tutor who was a pediatrician, and she taught me how to do a physical exam in babies, how to do assessments. So when I came to Miami, my dad's best friends, who used to work with this Brazilian pediatrician, introduced me to him, and he gave me a job on the spot. He kind of tested my knowledge, and he said, okay, I expect you tomorrow, we are going to start working. And that is where my first steps as coming in. Okay. And I were learning English around the way.
Yes.
And then I decided that I wanted to go to college. So I explored my options. Mm-hmm. And there were several options. And I had different people telling me, maybe you should go into nursing, or maybe you should go into PA school. You have all these credits from your time in Cuba. But every time that I wanted to maybe take another way, I felt the Lord was telling me, no, I want you to become a doctor. I want to take this step.
It may be hard to unpack that. How are you sensing God's continual leading in this? What were some of the things that he impressed upon you that just you just couldn't shake it? This was God's calling.
It would be confirmation through either a person will text me randomly and say, hey, I have been praying and I've been thinking of you. And I want to let you know that God is not done with you yet.
Okay.
That the promises that he has done with you are not done yet. I will be having my devotional time, having reading the word of God. And I will be brought up to my favorite psalm, which is Psalm 139. Uh-huh. But then Psalm 138:8. Is one of my favorite verses. It's like the anticipation to Psalm 139 says that the Lord will fulfill his purpose on me.
Mm.
Your steadfast love endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Mm. And I felt every time that I wanted to give up, that God was telling me, no, my child, I'm not done with you yet.
Awesome.
And now looking back, I can feel that God was leading me to this moment just because now a lot of my classmates who studied with me, who became doctors, they actually graduated. They have been moving to United States. And yes, they are doctors, but they don't know how is the process to get their certification valid over here in the United States.
Right. They have to go through their residency again, I believe, correct?
They have to do the boards.
Yeah.
They have to pass them, and then they have to apply for residency. Mm-hmm. And since I am in med school right now, I am the one who is telling them, you need to buy this book. You need to do this question banks. You need to persevere. There is one particular sister in Christ, which she texted me a long time ago, and she say, she is in Egypt. And she was, Violeta, I have been thinking about giving up since I am also an immigrant. I am in another country. I don't know the language. But every time I want to give up, I think about you. And I think about how you haven't given up and how that passion that you have for medicine burns so much in your soul and is so contagious that I just can't give up. And I just want to let you know that you need to continue pushing because you don't know how many people are actually looking up and are actually inspired and encouraged by your persistence, your resilience, maybe a little bit stubborn, but we just want to know that we just want you to know that you are really impacting a lot of lives, even when you don't feel it, even when sometimes you don't have to say a single word. Just knowing that God is with you and that we are cheering you up all the way.
Oh, that's encouraging. Well, you know, I think it's hard in a conversation that's minutes long to really communicate the length of time that God has needed to take to get you to the place you are now. Because, I mean, I was reading some in your bio. I mean, you got your degree at FIU, and then you were working maybe alongside the degree, but in addition to that, in hospice settings for many years, 9 years perhaps. And then you finally get into med school at AUC. That is a long journey. There is a lot of time into that, and I can imagine along that journey there could have been times where you could have lost heart and just thought, oh, Lord, you know, why? Why persevere? And that's why I wanted to draw that out from you as to what kept you going and the Word of God, the encouragement of others who knew you so well, who could speak into your life.
Yes.
What a validation of calling when you have got that internal calling, the Lord impressing upon you, that external calling from others, the Word of God, God opening up doors as He has. Not easy. And I guess it's hard to communicate and again, the short amount of time we have together, that it wasn't easy, but being faithful has been a blessing. And if God has you where He wants you, He desires the best for you. And I guess that's something I want to put a spotlight on during our conversation for those listening and watching. And so you know you have to take the MCATs, right? You do all the things. You get into AUC, and I imagine that was a real exciting day for you to be able to start to go to med school. Well, med school 2.0 because you were already in med school once. But so you were involved with you are still, but I mean in the chapter there involved with CMDA. How did you discover CMDA when you got there? Had you known about it before you went to med school? Was it something on your radar?
So when I had the interview to get accepted, before getting accepted into AUC, I like to investigate things. I am very curious. Mm-hmm. And I went to the website of the school, and they have several organizations. So when I was scrolling down, I found Christian Medical Dental Association, and I'm like, great. In my interview, I ask about it, and they say, yes, we have a Christian group here, very active on campus. And I'm like, wonderful. I am going to go over there. I really need a fellowship. Mm-hmm. And I will say, Bill, when God gave me this blessing, I think I persevered so much that He is like, I have no other option than to give it to her. Mm-hmm. I was not as active in my faith as I am now. I have known the Lord since I was a little girl, and I know that His love for me is steadfast. So I was very excited when I got accepted into my school, Lonsai, because it was the first time that I bought a Bible in English. Okay. So I always had a Bible in Spanish. My church, my local church, is a Hispanic church. But going to CMDA in St. Martin, I knew I wouldn't need a Bible in English. I was kind of a little bit scared of the fact that I knew I will have to pray some point in public in English. But I'm like, Lord, you created the tongues and you are going to carry me all the way in. So when I arrived to school, my school starts three times during the year. So we have... I am a May cohort. Mm-hmm. So they start in January, May, and September. So my first week at the school on Sunday, they had a club fair. They had, all the clubs at a school, pediatrics, internal medicine, Hispanics, and CMBA, they had a little booth. So I came in, I got accepted into the chat. And then I kind of knew what they were doing every week. My first 2 weeks of med school, they were kind of a rush for me getting accustomed to not be working full time, to actually be in an island in the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, I start figuring out how I was supposed to study. Mm-hmm. And I was like getting very busy, like Marta, and I didn't actually join in right away with having fellowship. So my first exam on my school went very well. And as I'm preparing for the second one, I start to see an impact on my grades. And I'm like, Lord, what is going on? And I felt in my heart that it's like, you are not getting together with your brothers and sisters. So I brought you all to this point. I kind of expect for you to serve me. So I walk in. My first time was a Sunday service. And they were playing a beautiful song that has a very sentimental attachment to me now. And I just feel very encouraged because during a time in service, you have fellowship time. So you are supposed to greet somebody new. I had somebody come to say hi to me. And it turns out this one of my classmates. She's a first semester just like me. My friend told me. I just felt that that was the right place for me to be. I just felt that that was the family that I was needing, because more than a club, more than church, because we are church in campus, CMDA for me is family. CMDA for me, and when I say family, it's not an easy word for me to say, because for us Hispanics, first is God, but then you have family. So meaning that there is nothing more important for you in this earth that your family, no your job, no your degree, nothing else, not even church. Like, yes, you have your family at church, you have the body of Christ, but your family always comes first. So for me, CMDA was the family. My chapter was what carried me on for my first 2 years in med school.
And then the Lord opened up the opportunity for you to be one of the core leaders. You call it an e-board, I believe, executive board.
Yes.
I want to explore just some of the ideas and ways that you kind of built up the chapter. I know that the Lord has really done some fun things there, and I shared some in an email with me. But what were some of the things you got a chance to do, and how was that making an impact with the other students there in St. Martin's?
So when I joined in, we were like roughly 10, 20 persistent, like faithful people. By the time that I joined the e-board, I had brought some ideas. Some of them were like my first semester. I was not part of the e-board yet, but I knew that they were the fifth semesters. Once you get to fifth semester and you pass an exam that the school makes us take that is similar to STEP, what we call it COMP. Okay. When they pass that exam, they go. They left the island. So on the last service, I bought a huge farewell cards, and I brought them to service. And I say, I just want to pray for all the fifth semesters, and I want all of us to put some words of encouragement because I'm a person who believes that it's really good when you have something physical with you, something that reminds you and encourages you how far the Lord has brought you, and especially encouragement from other medical students. Mm. And that is something also that I love about CMDA, because there are many local churches on the island, mm-hmm. but only the student ministry, you can connect and you can yeah. get to understand the struggles that you go with.
Exactly.
And how difficult it is to be a medical student who is also a Christian. Like, being a medical student yeah. by himself is hard.
Right.
Imagine being a medical student and a Christian as well. So my first thing was building those cards. And mm-hmm. then it became a tradition. So then after that, every single semester, every time a fifth semester from CMDA will leave, on the last service, we will sign cards for them. I have 3 amazing cards. I just don't have one. I have 3. So it was just a way to encourage. But then I had other ideas. I created a form, a Google form, mm-hmm. that we will post on the WhatsApp chat, that we have a WhatsApp chat when mm-hmm. we will communicate activities, when we have a reminder for Bible study, for mm-hmm. Sunday service, and extra activities that we do over the semester. Mm-hmm. And the form was basically for me to get to know all the members. Mm-hmm. I like it to know, when is your birthday? Mm-hmm. What is the specialty that you want to go with? What are our activities or things that you think that would be fun for us to do? And with the birthdays, I'm very particular, just because we are away from family. Mm-hmm. Birthdays can be tend to be very lonely. So it's very special mm-hmm. to know that you have a community yeah. that will celebrate your birthday, mm-hmm. that will lift you up. So every Sunday, we will have a time and a slide that will celebrate the birthdays of people that will be turning their birthdays during that yes. that week. And we will have also birthday cards for them. So it has become also a tradition for us to celebrate birthdays. And then on the WhatsApp chat, the president, who will have the birthdays of every single member, active or not, mm-hmm. will shout out, happy birthday to so-and-so, many blessings, God bless you. And it's just yeah. amazing and beautiful
yeah.
to see that.
Wow, that is such a memorable community that you've been able to develop there, and imagine the things you brought to the table are lasting legacies you've left behind now, and it's exciting for our listeners and those watching to also hear what's uniquely happening in the Caribbean too, because we don't often get a sense of what God is doing on those island communities where there are med schools. And this is very encouraging to hear what God is doing and how he's at work. And I want to kind of wrap this time up with just mentioning one last thing, which was National Convention, because you had a chance to attend. What was the bridge for you to go to National Convention? I want to think it was the VIE poster session. Is that correct? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And were you the only student from AUC, or were there others that joined you?
No, I was the only one.
Okay. So, how important was that to have a poster session, something like that, to get you to be able to go to something like our National Convention? And then I'd love for you to speak about how that National Convention had an impact in your life as a student.
I found out about the National Convention on an email. So when I joined CMDA, I forgot to mention, Bill, that mm-hmm. my chapter was kind of disconnected from the national organization, the national level. Mm. So when I joined in, I was like, what is the beginning? When the CMDA started? So I went online, I found CMDA, and I'm like, oh, student memberships are for free. We love that. Okay, let me join in.
Yes, indeed.
And I joined in, and I started to encourage all my brothers and sisters, hey, we need to join in. There are amazing perks, devotionals, the CMDA podcast, come on. There are global health mission trips. What much better can get than that? And then I got to the point of the email notification. So I get an email saying that they are having a poster. And I'm like, great. Every med student needs to have these experiences for the ERAS when you want to match to go into residency. And I'm like, it's going to be a double blessing. I'm having a poster presentation, and I am going to CMDA National Conference? Say less. So I had a clinical case that I just had a research symposium online that we do every semester on the island. And I had a case put together, and I'm like, I'm going to make it a poster. Mm-hmm. I talk to my team and they say, yes, we are all in. I reach out also to my faculty advisor, who happens to be also the faculty advisor of CMDA, Dr. Greg Frederick. Mm-hmm. And he said, Violeta, I think this is an amazing opportunity. Yes, do it. I submitted the draft and I had some feedback and I had to change it. But I was in a very rough time in the study and I missed the deadline. Mm. It was in December. January comes and I got an email saying we have extended the deadline to submit the abstract. And I'm like, hallelujah, this is what I needed. This is a confirmation from the Lord that I really have to go to that conference and to the poster presentation. So I was able to work all the little details that I had to for the feedback to work on and put the poster together. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a very rough time for me in the sense that I left for real St. Martin on April 27th and the national conference was May 2nd. Mm-hmm. So I just arrived back to the States, to Miami, dropped my bags, kind of figured out how to get everything, print my poster, and then go to the national conference. As I'm going over there, American Airlines left my poster behind. Oh. So when I get to North Carolina, my poster was not there. Mm. And as soon as I got into the shuttle that was provided by the students, which was an amazing thing, by the way, I just want to thank all the CMDA staff for everything that they have done for us students, because we felt very love and taking care of the whole time. When I get into the shuttle, where there was resident and other students, and they say, okay, let's pray for her to get her poster because the presentation is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That night at 11 p.m., my poster was delivered to the Red Cross Center Conference. And next day, I had the chance to present it. I was the only student from my school. Mm-hmm. I try to encourage all their students to come, but unfortunately they could not come. Mm-hmm. But I have shared my experience. Mm-hmm. I did a Zoom call with my brothers and sisters on a Sunday service recently, and I told them about such a blessing that was for me to attend to the national conference. And I told them, I am expecting to come next year, and some of you have to come with me.
Amen.
There is going to be an invasion of AUC
awesome.
In that conference next year. So I was the only Caribbean student on that poster. And I am not going to lie, I was feeling a little bit overwhelmed because I'm like, I see amazing posters around. But the Lord was like, I'm going to carry you all the way. Just the fact that you made it here is more than enough. And I didn't stop speaking those 3 hours of the poster presentation because it wasn't a judge. It was another student interested or someone just passing by. For God to be the glory, next day when they call us on the stage and they say my name, I was in shock. I'm like, I won. I am like, I was not expecting that.
Wow.
And it was just God's mercy, God's love. Mm. And I was not expecting that at all.
Wow. That's awesome.
And I just want to say also, Bill, that the experience was changing just because my chapter is a very good, well-organized chapter. But the fact that I came to the conference and I met so many students who are passionate about Jesus and so many doctors and so many organizations. When I saw all the global health mission trips that CMDA has partnered and all this structure to support us in our mission to bring the hope of healing of Christ to the world through healthcare, I was just in awe. Because I was like, sometimes you feel isolated. You feel that you're battling yourself. And how beautiful it is to find peers whom you can talk to about medicine, about science, but also about your faith.
Boy, that's a great way to conclude and just put a big exclamation point on everything that's been said. it is encouraging to know that you're not in this alone. I think that is such a key part of being a part of this ministry and movement. I mean, when you landed in Miami, I believe we were able to make some connections with what was going on in Miami on your behalf,
yes.
I believe, right? So now I can't say we have a community, a vibrant community in every, you know, every place in the U.S., but there's many, many, many. And part of being a part of this ministry is that you can connect with like-minded Christ followers no matter where you happen to go next. You know, eventually that'll be true for the residency part of your journey and then your professional career as well. So thank you for being a part of this ministry, your enthusiasm, your love for the Lord, and your willingness to persevere and to be resilient in light of some serious and significant obstacles. But God kept you close to Himself, and you drew close to mm-hmm. Him, and you are in med school. I know you're not over the finish line yet. I know there's more training years, but you are you're along a path, and we need to, you know, of course, pray for you as you head towards residency and the interviews and matching. I know there's a lot of stressors and unknowns ahead, but I know that we have a Lord who is ruling and reigning on high, whom we can trust and cling tightly to, and he is with us. So thank you, Violeta, for, again, sharing your story, again, and your love for the Lord and this journey with Him. So anything closing? I always love to give our guests maybe a closing remark. You know, you're speaking mostly to students. Is there anything you'd want to say just in brief that would close us out as an admonition, as something to encourage our listeners?
This became my motto on med school. My brothers and sisters of CMDA, when they hear this, they are going to jump because they know exactly what I'm about to say. There was a sermon that we watched together, and is that passage when Jesus is sleeping and he's in the boat with his disciples, and there is a storm coming in. And I like to picture that that is sometimes how med school feels like. Med school feels like you sometimes don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Right. And something that the preacher said that has stuck with me is that Jesus is still in the boat. Hmm. When Jesus told the disciples, let's go to the other side, it was not telling them, oh, we are going to get drowned. Hmm. Oh, you are not going to make it. Mm-hmm. No, Jesus told them, we are going to get it to the other mm-hmm. side. So in your journey, sometimes you are going to feel like you maybe are not seeing the end of the storm, but you need to remember that the master is sleeping in the boat, and he is in the boat with you. And in just a moment, he can just calm the storm and just say, be still. So just a reminder for every medical student that Jesus is in your boat. Even if you don't feel it, even if sometimes you cannot sense it, He's in the boat with you, and He's going to take you to the other side.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Violeta. Thank you again for this time together. And thank you all for joining us on this episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. Talk to you next time. Well, this is the time of the podcast where we share some things that you need to know. First of all, if you haven't done so already, make sure you download the CMDA Student Life app. Let me tell you, this is the place where we communicate, we give you the resources and everything you need to stay connected with CMDA. On the app, you can join CMDA, and that's one thing we encourage you to do. Stay connected with CMDA by joining. And here's the good news, as a student, joining is absolutely free. But the resources you're going to get are priceless. So stay connected with CMDA by joining. Also through the Student Life app, there's resources for downloadable Bible studies. The podcast is on there, and all kinds of ways to stay connected and be informed about CMDA. So download that app and get connected. Also, one last thing that you need to know is if you want to stay connected with some of the more late-breaking news and information, we're on the socials. We're on the Facebook, the X, and Instagram. And so simply find us at the handle at CMDA Student Life, and we've got all kinds of information there as well. So as always, we look forward to talking to you next time on the next episode of CMDA Student Pulse Podcast.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the organization. CMDA is non-partisan and does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on Student Pulse podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members.